Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parent in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice, and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because, let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hello, you're listening to Parent in Hell with...
Sophie, can you say Rob Beckett?
Rob Beckett.
And Josh Widdicombe. Well done.
See, he started posh and then trailed off of the poshness. That first line was well posh, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. This is our daughter Sophie, who was born during the first lockdown, May 2020, and we've been avid listeners since. Our second baby, Theodore, is now five, great name, is now 5 weeks old, and she is slowly coming to terms with him. Love the show, keep up the good work. Ed and Heather in...
Shropshire.
Cheshire. Not far!
Get in! And what? Deal with it, yeah?
That's probably an adjacent county, yeah? Well done, Rob. Welcome to the episode.
How are you? You good?
Yeah. I've got to say...
Go on.
Bank holiday weekends are long, aren't they? It's a bit like the lockdown, isn't it? People without kids looking forward to, you know, enjoying the freedom. If you are a freelancer with kids, a bank holiday has fucking nothing for
it.
You.
I hate that. Exactly. Basically, you don't get a day off, you just don't earn any money, and then you've got to go and do something, and then everyone's off, where normally you can get stuff done on a Monday.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're self-employed, freelancer, the worst, I hate them. And then all my mates are like, oh, what's going up to, bank holiday? Just the same, really, but no money in it, and it's busy everywhere.
Oh, and do you know what I've done, actually? Is I didn't realise it was a bank holiday, so I scheduled something really annoying on the Monday as well.
What, this?
No. I'll be honest with you, Rob.
Yeah.
This was like a fucking oasis as I was going through the afternoon and looking after two children.
Especially straight off the back of the 6 weeks holiday. If this popped up in February, it would be nice, wouldn't it?
Oh, what about May when you get two bank holidays in one month?
It's madness. What is that all about? Madness. What is that? But I don't even know what for. It's just, because it's May.
Spread them out.
Just because it's May Day weekend.
Yeah. Oh, God. And you've just had Easter, which is 4 days. Anyway, sorry.
Good to be back on track, normal, back to normal life.
I should add, obviously, my issues with bank holidays. I've no issue with the reason the bank holiday was called. Just add that.
Yeah.
Case anyone from the Daily Mail's listening? Now.
Do you want some school drop-off times, Josh? We asked about whose school finished the earliest. Yours finishes a bit later than mine.
Oh, Rob, you know what? The 9:34 thing is an absolute winner.
Yeah?
That's such a gift. Rob, I know we're not meant to talk about positives in our lives.
Because it ruins the show.
Because it ruins the show.
Yeah.
I've actually got too much time in the morning.
That's what I was going to say. I think, you know, getting ready, you want to map an out, really, but then you want to be out longer, but you've got loads of time in the morning to get them ready.
And 4 p.m, yeah, it's 4 p.m's a win. I tell you, let's give me some more. Hit me up with some.
Nicola Gordon.
Yeah,
love the podcast. You're talking about Josh's daughter's school shutting at 2 p.m. on a Friday. Is that still happening?
No, it's not my daughter's school. It's a friend's child's school.
Okay. Yeah. We're in Scotland, and my son's, also a Josh, finishes school at 12:20 p.m. on a Friday. They're only there for 3 hours.
What is the point?
Starts at 8:45. Pointless. I hardly have time to unpack my food shop. Nicola's not happy.
Oh, my God. That is
stupid. Every day.
Mad.
They go back earlier as well, don't they, Scottish schools?
Do they?
It gets so dark early up there and so light early in the summer.
12:20? That's before lunch.
I know. It's ridiculous, isn't it? At least stay for lunch. You've got to feed them before you send them off, surely. Hello, still loving the podcast? Okay, that's a bit loaded. What are you suggesting? Okay.
Somehow you're holding my attention, but
yeah, I really didn't think it would last this long. Right, still love the podcast. Love the chat tonight about school pickup times. I love when people say the chat tonight and they just assume everyone's listened to it at the same time.
It's going out live.
Hi guys, let's all have a listening party, 6 p.m. Love the chat tonight about school pickup times. This is from Vicky Allen. I feel like I'm really going in on her with this.
Yeah, but I should say it sums up both our output and our audience that someone's emailed in with the phrase loving the chat about school pickup times.
We start school here at 7 a.m. and finish at 1:45.
What? Where do they live?
And she's a teacher. I work 7 a.m. till 3 p.m. every day.
Oh, no, don't do that.
Do you want to guess? Do you want to guess where they're from?
Like Spain, something like that?
No, Qatar.
Qatar?
Yeah.
Oh, well, there we go.
So Qatar, this is Qatar, Josh, and she said, after 12 years, you get used to it. I mean, that's a long time to wait.
12 years, you get used to it.
Or does she mean, I've been here 12 years and you get used to it quick, or it takes 12 years to get used to it?
Yeah, I mean, either way, it's not.
I'm ripping apart the context of this email.
So Vicky what is 7 a.m. till 1:45? Is that because of the heat, presumably?
Yes.
Oh, my God, that would destroy me.
Every day. But yeah.
Every day.
I think you just get used to it, though, don't you? It's just a shift.
Yeah, you just get up at 6, aren't you?
Because that's what... you know, like The Rock and Mark Wahlberg always get up at like 4 a.m. to do exercise. I just think they're jet lagged from being in Europe and they've just stayed jet lagged.
Yeah.
Because when you get to America from the UK, you're just up from 4 or 5 every day until you sort of have a really late night. But if you don't have a late night, that's just your new life.
So Mark Wahlberg went to, you know, Ocean Beach for the weekend to watch, you know, to enjoy himself. He's just never reset.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah,
it's not commitment.
Why are they? But what time does Wahlberg go to bed? Do we know?
I think it's at 9 p.m.
What a weird thing to do to your life.
And they don't drink or anything, do they?
No.
I think it's all bollocks. I don't think it's true. I think
I've got an itchy ear, Rob, and I've only got one headphone in, so I can't hear what you're saying at that moment. I've got to deal with these headphones.
What's wrong with your ear?
It was itchy, but...
So you took a headphone out to itchy and you couldn't hear me?
Only one of my headphones works.
Josh, are you shitting me? Have you got it out again to itch it?
No, I'm listening to you.
So I know we were talking about the wires all being tangled up, but but does only one of those work?
Yeah, one of those...
Josh, how long's that been like that?
Since we started this podcast.
That is actually mental.
Do you not wonder why I only ever... I suppose you don't see me, do you?
No,
but I only ever have one ear thing in.
Josh, that's not acceptable.
I don't need you in fucking surround sound, Rob. You're not in stereo.
No, but you need to have to hear me at least. Well, for this very reason, in case you get fucking itchy ear like a dog.
It's only come up 3 years in that it's my first itchy ear.
How itchy do you get your ears?
Do you know what? I think I might have something wrong with my ear.
Of course you do. So every week, you...
It just keeps getting itchy. Could I have like ear dandruff or something? Like,
a skin infection, like a fungal infection in your ear.
Oh my God.
Like a skin infection. Because I had a really bad ear and it got worse and worse. It was a fungal infection in there. And in the end, what that had to do was it was really itchy. So keep itching it, but then you damage it more. And then it gets, and then you create it gets really red and sore. So what he had to do with mine is he had to pump it full of, he cleaned it out and it was really red and sore. Then he pumped it full of cream.
Yeah.
And then I had to have my ear full of cream for a day.
What? So could you hear anything?
I did nothing out of that ear. So I did 8 out of 10 cats with one ear. And then the next day, he goes in and he cleans it all out. And then puts it in. So it's got like antibiotics in it.
Can people see it? That you've got creamy ear?
No, so he cleaned it around the edge. But if you had a proper look in there, you'd see white at the end. But it weren't like, here comes creamy ear.
Yeah, it wasn't like you had a bit like a 99 sticking out of your ear.
What them Italian little things called? You know, the with the cream in the middle. Italian. What? Oh, God, if I weren't jet lagged, I'd have been, I got that. My timing's off.
Like, Italian cream in a... oh my God. How does that person still enjoy this podcast?
I just typed in Italian cream here.
Italian cream...
It's called
filled pastry. That's it.
Cannoli.
A cannoli.
Oh fuck! A fungal. That's my only Italian. That's from Joey Tribbiani.
Oh my God! That is cannoli. Simply not good enough broadcasting wise.
Now my ear's itchy. I think it's osmosis. think that's what osmosis means.
Oh, yeah, I'll do. Neither of us knows.
I've got a thing about weirdest place people have listened. Here we go. And then we'll do Mile in Class. Hiya. Listening to this week's podcast and the weirdest place I've listened to the podcast bit. We welcomed our baby boy 10 weeks ago and I listened to your podcast whilst in labour.
No.
Specifically whilst waiting for my epidural.
No way.
Big time.
Incredible.
I was in so much pain and had got a bit worked up about the needle that I shouted at my partner to put the latest episode on, as it always makes me laugh and reminds me of the time when I wasn't in absolute agony. Needless to say, the doctor asked me to turn it off. Oh, here we go.
You killjoy.
Who was it? Dr. Chatterjee? Worried about the charts? That was quick, wasn't it?
That was really good.
Because one, there, as a white man, I'm panicking about an Asian man's name.
Yeah,
two, I've got to find a doctor in the charts.
Yeah, really good.
And I just don't think there was another person I could have done.
Yeah, I panicked. I'd have said Dr. Fox, and he hasn't. It just wouldn't have worked.
Needless to say, the doctor asked me to turn it off as they found it too distracting when trying to position a potentially very dangerous needle into my spine without causing any long-lasting damage.
Yeah, so funny we could permanently disable someone. Is that what she's saying? Like, the doctor would be laughing away while
and
they
just
were
jab it into the spinal cord.
Suddenly we're riffing about Jimmy Cipollata. So
it was
dogs.
It was a Jimmy. To be fair, yeah, she can't walk now, but it was a Jimmy Cipollata one. However, once I was pain-free, the podcast went straight back on and myself and the midwives had a lovely chuckle whilst my contractions were edging closer together. Thanks for laughs. Rhea Marwick.
Oh, wow. Great. Well, if you've listened in birth, do let us know. If you ever put it on and someone's told you to turn it off because it's too dangerous, that's what I'm going to do as my last thing when I feel like I'm going. I'm going to go, can you just...
You can listen to this podcast.
You just pop on the...
one, so I can slowly slip away to silence.
Fucking boring old. But here's Miley in Class. Hello, Miley in Class. How are you?
I liked that intro. That was great. Thank you.
Been up all night writing it.
It's not too gushing, is it?
Do you know what? I like succinct.
I think it's weird when you do a show and then they like, you're sat there while they intro you and they're reading out all your credits and stuff. It's just an awkward start.
Do you know what? You're absolutely right, so thank you.
Author, musician, member of Hearsay, which we won't go into.
You can go wherever you like. I have nothing to hide.
Well, should we start with how many kids you got? That's the classic. What's your kids set up, Mylene?
Okay, so I've got a 15-year-old.
15?
I've got an 11-year-old.
Okay. Boys or girls? Are they both girls?
Both girls.
Yep.
So Ava's 15, Hero's 11. And then I've got my baby boy who's 3. His name's Apollo, but we call him Snoopy. He's just turned 3.
Amazing.
How comes the Apollo to Snoopy? Yeah.
Well, when I was pregnant, I put a piece of paper up on the door because I wanted all the kids just, you know, to really feel involved. Because my partner, he has 2 children too, so we're a blended family of 7 all in.
Blimey.
I know. Honestly, it's chaos. I thought, let's let all the children feel really involved in this and write down any name that you want to call the baby. I don't know who the culprit was, but somebody wanted to call him Snoop Dogg. And I was like, don't be so ridiculous. We're not going to have a baby called Snoop Dogg. And would you believe it? It's what stuck. So he's been given like this god of music and science, Apollo. We've given him that name and nobody uses it. Snoopy.
Amazing.
Everyone just calls him Snoop.
Everybody calls him Snoopy. Snoop. His teachers, his little nursery teachers. He calls himself Snoopy.
That's incredible. So do you think that'll stick when he goes to school?
I'm guessing so. It's the only...
That's
the answer's to, and that's how he introduces himself. It's little Snoopy.
So how? Because you've got are all the kids in your house? So they split between other houses with like different parents.
So the 3 are permanent residents. 2 come and go, and then there's myself and my partner. And I'd like to say we're permanent residents too.
How old are the other 2 kids?
Also 15 and 11.
So how spoiled is Snoop getting? Having all these sort of older kids and parents around. Because he's going to be the little golden boy.
If he ever learns to tie his shoelaces by 21, it will be a miracle. He went through a phase of not even speaking. It was kind of just, look, he's a rainbow baby. So we're all obsessed with him.
What's a rainbow baby?
So a rainbow baby is the baby that you get at the end of the rainbow after you've had miscarriages, and I had four miscarriages. So to get this baby, he was, you know, obviously all babies are very, very precious, but I was just willed over the finishing line. We were so worried to the last, The minute I held him in my arms, I didn't even believe I was having him. I didn't dare to believe I was having him.
We've gone quite heavy quite early. Was it difficult to keep going? Were there set points when you thought, we're not going to do this?
All the time, because I spent four, you know, to have four miscarriages when you've had two, you know, seemingly very straightforward pregnancies. It rattles you. I think anybody who's ever been through anything, even, you know, remotely like that, you know, one is awful. Four is just looking into the abyss and giving up.
I can only imagine. We had one and that was horrific. And then the pregnancy after that, there's no joy in the pregnancy after that.
Absolutely,
we found.
It's fear. It's like every time you go to the loo, you just think that you're scared just to go to the loo. You just don't know what you're going to find. And I think, you know, you're just forever worried. If you feel a movement, you're worried. If you don't feel a movement, you're worried. I don't know if you had to experience, you know, all the injections and the pessaries and the drugs that are required, but I was rattling around, you know, everything I could possibly take, I took it, because I just didn't want to take any chances. But we got him.
But you've got him. And he's called Snoopy, against your wishes.
He just floats aloft on this cloud, pushing around on, because he's just, I don't think I will ever get over the fact that I have him. He's here, and I just, you know, sneak into his room at night and just stroke his head and smell his hair, that baby smell that you're just trying to just still hang on.
And are you done now, though? Would you go again, or is it too much stress coming from what's happened before?
You know what? On a serious note, I don't think I could do it again. I couldn't tempt fate like that again.
Yeah.
I don't think I could do it. I think I got my lot. I really did. And from a practical consideration, I don't think there's a tour bus big enough now. Nobody finds it anywhere. I had to get a bigger kitchen table, a bigger dinner table to fit everyone around it. So just from a practical consideration, I don't know how we'd move. It's like the circus coming to town wherever we go.
How do you genuinely, what are the practicalities of going from A to B with five kids?
Yeah, you have to be so organised, and I always have a muster point, not joking, in case anyone gets lost along the way.
So how big's your car? What are we looking at? Previa? Full Galaxy? How many seats you got?
Sometimes we just have to just go in sort of in a rotation, or drop someone at the tube, or it's just like, we can't do the 80s anymore where you just throw someone in the boot. It just doesn't really work. So we have to just really, you know, I've got with the 15-year-olds, it's a little bit easier because they, you know, they're a bit more independent. But it is, like I said, you have to have real practical considerations how to move everybody. It's like it is like kettling rather than raising.
And how do you jump between a 3-year-old and then teenage girls?
Oh my goodness. If you figure it out, I'm all ears. It's a real challenge, because I think people have this idea of you have teenagers and they're going to be this one way, and you have toddlers and they're going to be this other way. And actually, you're just dealing with independent people. You don't know what these little people are going to want or what they're going to be like. And I just think the most important thing really is with, you know, so many little people with all these big feelings, is that you just remind them that you're teen children. That's it. Whatever they need, whatever support they want, you know, whatever it is that they need in their lives at whatever time, they just need to know that you're supporting them. And that's the best thing I can do, because it's not one size fits all.
Yeah.
And got, you know, all my children, they're very, very different. Yeah, they're very different. We've got things obviously all in common. We all, you know, make music together. I've managed to, you know, pass on, you know, piano lessons that they all seem to love. And I love doing that with us together, because I made my own band. But then, you know, my eldest, she's like some chemistry wizard. I've got no clue. I can't help her. Absolutely none whatsoever. My 11-year-old, she's like comedian/ wants to make clothes for drag queens. She's on her own trajectory. And then obviously there's the Emperor, the Golden Child, who...
I've got a 4 and a 1-year-old, and when we're going through these stages with the 1-year-old, I can't even remember really what it was like with the 4-year-old. So I've done it 12 years apart. Do you feel like you've still got the kind of things you learned the first time around, or does it feel like you're just starting afresh again with the new baby?
I think what you do learn is that, you know, your children, they have such different needs. I'm learning that boys are really kamikaze. I can't tell you how many times I've been to A&E.
Yes.
I've probably been to A&E with him more times, you know, at the age of three than I have with Ava the whole time, because just cannot sit still. We literally just tripped over on nothing the other day when we were back in A&E on Ava's birthday. You know, it was just one of those things. You're trying to juggle everything. And I think that's what the difference is with, you know, with Ava and Hero. Wherever I put them down, if I gave them a book, they'd still be there.
Boys definitely aren't. There's a bit of a nutter switch in boys, isn't there? Where they just, when they go on one.
I have those generalisations, but it's very, very different. I was told that, you know, just give them loads of fresh air, let them run around outside and make sure they're fed with boys. And
it's not a sheepdog. Because I remember seeing, I don't know if I mentioned this before on the podcast, when I was at a wedding, and then it was in America, and it was on they had this pre-wedding thing on the beach, and there was a dad there with two twin boys that were six, and the game was, they were running out of the sea at him, and they had to try and get out of the sea, and he just pushed them back in the sea, and he was just pushing these kids in the sea, and they were loving it, just getting like knocked back under the water, and then at one point, one got up, was sick in the sea, and then carried on running at his dad, getting pushed back. And I was like, these are animals.
My daughter is so different from my son in that way. Like, because we went to a five-year-old's party on Saturday, and there was basically, it was, you know when you're like, I'm not going to put gender roles on my child. Yeah. And there was literally boys fighting with sticks to the point where they were having to get the sticks taken off them. And then my daughter and her two friends were at the craft station decorating hats. And you're like, this is like a kind of awful Victorian kind of thing where you're like, this isn't Enid Blyton, but these kids are like...
I hear you. But they just find their own way, don't they? Yeah. I can't believe they do play straight into the hands of what you consider gender specific. And there are definitely things that are like... Well, look, we've got a math motto. The class family motto is have fun, don't die. That's our class family motto. And I'm just hoping that because everyone just stick to it.
Have fun, don't die. And how did you find it different when obviously you were single parent at points with your first two, and then now you sort of, well, you're with your partner? Did looking back, do you sort of think, oh, how did I do that? How did I cope with that? Considering, like, you know, people get overwhelmed now and they've got their partner with them, but I can't imagine how hard it was.
There are definitely easier parts when you are single because you just know it's just you, so you just crack on. It's all just down to you. And that's also the pressure, because it is all just down to you. And then there's also times when actually it can be, that's very, very hard because it is just you, but it can be very lonely at the same time. So because it's not just sharing the workload, you want to share the love. You want to go, they did this today, or they smiled at this today, or they did this incredible thing. It's just wanting to share your lives together. But there are things that now I'm not always used to having my partner who are you know, maybe you'll just say, well, could you go and pick this up, or did you do the laundry? And if it's forgotten, you're like, I didn't do it myself. It's those things that you're just, I find it just such a huge switch to share that workload, having done it for so long, having used to doing it for so long, whether it's just, you know, pottering around the house, fixing things around the house, all the way through to ferrying the kids and just being manic. You get so used to it.
And how was it with, like, obviously some of it was quite public about your sort of ex-husband or ex-partner. And, like, do you feel protective over your kids? Because you know that's sort of out of your control and it's in the paper and stuff. Like, do you sort of just ignore that, or do you have a discussion with them? How do you deal with that? Because it's sort of out of your control.
I have been extremely open with my children because I found that even if, let's say, I didn't want to share a story or if I didn't think it was appropriate, you would be amazed at what is shared at the school gates. And I had one mum who went up to my children and was just talking like it was just daily gossip. And I was like, my God, these are their lives.
God.
I couldn't believe it. So what I've done now is I've just made it really clear that I've shown my children that there are, you know, stories, let's call them, that are written about me and about us. And I just show them the differences. And it's, you know, you can't underestimate your children. I think so many people think that's not appropriate, or they're upset by this, or they can't understand that they're too young. But actually, don't underestimate your children. I've got stories where you can start as simply as showing the girls when the names have been swapped around. or the ages have been popped around, which when you're a child, if someone gets your age wrong, your name wrong, it's like, you're a fool, you know? So you can see how those stories can start. But we've got actually, again, in the same vein of Have Fun, Don't Die, we've also got a graph of how bad something can be. There was a story written about me a long time ago when the kids were, you know, about Ava would have been about 4 or 5. And I went somewhere called the Yap Islands, which is in Micronesia. And I was working on a project called Singing the Rainforest. So I had to bring a piano and go and write a song with a tribe. Bono would have loved it. And I came back from the Yap Islands and the girls helped me unpack my suitcase and a little crab crawled out. And it was like 20p sort of size. And we all sort of named it as you do and put him in a bowl and tried to figure out what a crab from the Yap Islands would want. We tried bran flakes. We tried to put, you know, little food. Obviously, it's very sad because he didn't quite make it, but we tried. And I hid it from the girls that he didn't make it. And I was talking about this crab story, as you do, at a press conference for the show I've been working on. And they said, you know, is there anything that you're going to miss about the Yap Islands? And I was like, well, actually, I took a little piece of it home with me. I had a stowaway. Anyway, I mean, I'll leave it to you to Google. Have a look for yourself. It's a really unfortunate thing to have to look up, but it's mine in class. Killing crab.
Killing crab.
Look at the size of the crab that comes up. Put in. Oh, wow. Yeah.
We'll
put
Releasing in giant rat eating crab.
Look at the size of that.
That's not what you had, is it?
No, 20p piece. So the story went out. No, it gets worse. They asked, what did I do with this crab? So I said, well, I released it onto the heath. But then it was meant to just be a joke. Most of the journalists present got it. And that was the end of it.
Amazing.
But it then translated that I'd released a 3-foot coconut crab onto the heath. I had animal rights groups saying I'd ruined the ecosystem. I had broadsheets getting in touch with management saying, you know, what's she going to do about this? Never since the terrapins from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles have we had such a pandemic. It just went out of control.
I had
a journalist who was pictured with a net walking around the heath trying to find this giant crab because apparently a resident said that it tried to eat his dog. So
no.
my girls, they saw all these stories. I showed them all these stories and we just use it as a, you know, if a story breaks and is it accurate or is it not accurate? We always go, well, on the scale of the crab, where does it lie?
Yeah, because they've seen the tiny little one that you had and they know that's all just bollocks.
And I think, you know what, just show them how things can either snowball or how things can be reported or and learn to laugh at it.
How quickly could you laugh at Crabgate?
Dude, if I had opened my suitcase and found that 3-foot crab, which they got 5-foot, I wouldn't be carrying it down to the heath. I would be ringing the police.
I mean, let's be honest with you, it would have shown up when they put it through the baggage carousel.
That is mental. There's no way. That is the biggest crab of it. I didn't know they did them that big.
But I think if you can show them and they can see they lived it in real time. So they saw all of this happening. So we just always refer back to that, the sliding scale of how bad are things.
Yeah, they just know it's nonsense. Because it's amazing how young they get when, like, even my 6-year-old's been like, oh, you're famous, you're on the telly and stuff like that. So, like, as soon as they get older and they can start reading the newspapers and Googling you, because that's what they will, you know, it's in their nature too, isn't it? But they know now that the crab, on the crab scale. So is crab the most ludicrous? Is that the top
along
level?
Along those lines, but nothing so funny that, you know, the girls can really genuinely get their claws into. Yeah.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
Dealing with the tabloids isn't one of the topics that is in the book. They don't teach you this at school, which is your book. You were saying, so this book is, and so this has got 100 lessons for children, but it's like really practical stuff, over 100 lessons, from really practical stuff to just like kind of personal stuff, like dealing with different kind of emotional things and stuff. So it kind of covers the full gamut of life experience.
Times have you sat with somebody, I don't know, you can be at the pub or to the kitchen table and just said, why didn't they teach us this at school? And I'm going through this more and more because I've got a daughter who is doing Pythagoras theory and does want to know the breakdown of every single cell. And I don't know how much you talk about half the time. I'm really trying. But then actually, what about the practical lessons that, you know, CPR, how to change a tire? If you look on my Insta, my daughter, we got a flat in Ibiza and my daughter at 14 changed my tire for me.
And I amazing.
And it's things like that where I just don't...
So I thought you meant you bought an apartment in Ibiza. We got a flat in Ibiza. I was like, oh, okay, this is a weird thing to... All right, well done. Oh, it's flat tire.
So one of the things is how to deal with...
Well done, Marlene. You've got a house in Ibiza.
Dealing with Spanish estate agents is lesson one.
No, we got a flat tire, sorry, in Ibiza. I let my daughter change it. And I just think it's, you know, nobody wants to feel helpless. Nobody in life wants to feel helpless. And look, this is not doing the schools down. You know, a lot of teachers have actually bought the book. And I think it's bottom line is, and they do enough, of course, as well. It's more a case of just all those things you wanted to learn at school. I consolidated them all from basic finance. You know, the amount of people that are doing abstract finance, algebra, but don't even know how to run a household budget, set up a bank account, or, you know, their mortgage.
Well, they never taught you tax. I never got taught about tax. My school, I grew up in South East London. Everyone was either a criminal or they run their own plumbing firm. That was it. And at no point did anyone talk about PAYE or what you have to do. Nothing. It's ridiculous. It was all doing Pythagoras. All we needed to know was self-assessment tax returns. That was it.
Do you know how many adults even still struggle now? You say it's the children, but I've had loads of silver splitters. Loads of people getting divorced. There was one girl, she got...
What's a silver splitter? Is that people, older people getting divorced?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. You've got loads of little terms. I like this.
Yeah.
Silver splitters.
What age do you have to be a silver splitter? About 50?
Just the hair.
Yeah.
What it is, the kids have grown up. They've gone either to uni or they're off.
Right, I see. Yeah.
Flown the nest. Empty nesters.
Yeah, and you're spending a lot of time together and suddenly you're thinking, well, actually it's not working. Their silver splitters have got their independence now. And actually then they realise, I don't know where the fuse box is. Or, you know, one girl from saying to me, she broke up with her boyfriend and she said the humiliation of him watching her from the window when she was trying to start the lawnmower. And I was like, come on, babe. She just said all she wanted was just to look like she wasn't going to be helpless. And that just broke my heart there and then. So it's for uni leavers. It's for people who just want to know those life skills. We've saved four lives already. There was one guy who got in touch and his wife was choking on chicken at the table. And he saved her life. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really? Yeah. Heimlich. You teach the Heimlich.
Yeah, it's all in there. I mean, you know, you can do the basic sort of pats on the back, if you like, the firm slap on the back. But I think there's so many people out there that just don't know what to do. What would you do if someone was choking? What would you do if someone needed CPR? There's been loads of children, actually, that have known what to do. And whilst they haven't had the strength to actually carry it out, they've been able to... adults how to do it, which is remarkable. We also saved a little baby, a 6-month-old baby. The mum actually posted on her Insta after she'd saved her child a while later.
Yeah. Quickly gonna send this DM.
Yeah.
You'll be all right.
Instagram Live felt a bit inappropriate to Instagram
just
Live.
Just want to say big thanks to Mylene Class, this little fella's just...
Oh, stop.
Obviously, you've put this all together, Mylene, though, but have your kids come up to you with this book and go and point out some of your advice and go, remember when you did this to us, but that didn't really work out, you know, from the past? Because I don't know about you, but my kids remember everything I ever did wrong.
When I was in Ibiza, not in the flat that I did wrong. We got, there was a blackout and I came down the stairs to find out what was going on. And then the lights came on and I said to Sim, my partner, did you fix it? He went, no, Ava did it. She just went to the fuse box. And I'm like, my God, it's working. It's actually working. And I just, that's when you think, God, it does go in. They think everything you do is wrong. Trust me, my children, they don't get my job at all. They don't. You know, get that I wanted to say famous. They just don't see it like that at all. They don't understand why I am in a newspaper or anyone would I don't know, listen to any.
Have you had to lay down the law with the teenagers yet, Mylene, or have they quite well behaved, especially the 15-year-old? Because I'm petrified of teenage daughters.
No, don't be. Do you know what? I mean, I'm really enjoying seeing where she's at and seeing, you know, the books that she chooses to read and how she'll have these conversations, what she started standing up for. Do you know what? She left a party. I put it in the book. She left a party because she didn't like the language. You know, she thought it was, you know, both racist and homophobic. And she rang me from the bathroom and we just got into bed and we were like, oh, night off. It's that party. This is great. And kids are in bed. And she said, can you come and pick me up? And we went, and she told us what was going on. We went and picked her up. And I thought, oh my God, that's really brave. I wouldn't have done that at that age.
No.
I'd probably just been quiet.
Yeah.
Or just got found somebody else. And she was like, I don't want to be here. It's not right. And I just thought, our kids, actually, they're growing up in a time where they have got more information. They are way more savvy than us. And that's what I'm really enjoying, just the conversations and seeing what she's... I like it. I can't say it to her, but I love it when she gets a bit feisty, because I'm like, yeah, you're going to need that.
Yeah.
I don't want you to be a people pleaser. I want you to question authority. I don't want you just to blindly go like a lemming as to wherever somebody says you should go. You've got to question things, but... You don't question the mum.
So what have you clashed over? What has she been feisty about?
Bedtime. In my household, if I want to start Armageddon, bedtimes. It's just one of those things that you can never beat, because everyone's got a friend who's allowed to go to bed at midnight.
Yeah, we get that all the time. This one girl went to bed at midnight once, and that is said to me every single bedtime when I'm trying to get them to sleep. So what are your bedtimes in your house?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, it gets looser as the week.
Yeah. Summer holidays, there isn't one. It's carnage.
Oh, it's chaos. But, I mean, the baby, I mean, I tried to get him into bed for, say, 7:30.
The three-year-old baby. He's going to be your baby forever, isn't he? The baby. He's three and at school. Little tie on. The baby. Briefcase. Off he goes. The baby. Where's the baby? He's just on the bus. Yeah, he's all right.
That's exactly how it's going to be. But, yeah, I mean, that sort of changes up when he hears all the noise and the chaos downstairs, because he wants to be a part of it. Put him in his room at 7:30, lights out, so we'll read all our books. We're reading Oi Frog. What a champion book that is at the minute.
So I've not read Oi Frog.
Never read Oi Frog. Sat in a log. That I thought I'd have you down as a big Oi Frog fan.
I thought I'd basically bought all of the books in Waterstones out of guilt when I'm on tour. So I'm surprised there's any.
So it's 7:30, lights out. What about the teenagers? Isn't it? Or the 11-year-old and the 15-year-old?
The 11-year-old. I aim for 8:30. She's climbing up the walls with that. She wants 9:30. Because all her friends, and you know what? It's not when they go to bed; it's actually when they're getting up. Because they're all getting up at 6:30. Because I've got three school runs, you see, so that's why it's tricky. And the teenager, she has so much homework; it is insane. I start off by going up to her room, saying, "Right, bed, lights out," and then I start sitting down with her, looking at the homework, and then getting stuck on it with her. And before you know it, it's like it's really hard. Bedtimes are hard; they're hard to police, because you just make your kids miserable because they just fight against it. But
and if they're doing homework up there, it's hard to say go to sleep when they're going to be laying there worrying that they've not finished
it. Exactly.
Do it quicker and better. Come on.
It's that, and then you start thinking, well, what excuse can I give to the teacher for her?
So then what's just three school runs. So what's the morning routine looking like? You're up at 6:30.
Everyone up 6:30. I put all the bowls out on the table so everyone's got their breakfast ready to go. Everyone does their piano, like 10, 15 minutes piano.
Oh, wow.
Take it. Like,
oh, fuck that. No offence, but I can't bear the thought of having to do piano first thing in the morning. Oh, it'll drive me mental. That is...
I can't do it at the end of the day. At the end of the day, everyone's too tired.
Really? So you do it in the morning, piano. Do they all like the piano?
They love the piano. Hero plays the trumpet.
Does Snoop play the piano?
Snoop wants to play the piano, yeah. Initially, nobody likes to practice, myself included. Absolutely hate practicing. But because Ava's now earning money from it, she earns money every weekend. She's got seven pupils and she's seeing the benefits of that.
She's teaching piano?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
At 15?
No, she's been teaching since she was 12.
Wow.
Yeah.
You've created your own band, so you're the Nigel Lithgow of your own pop stars.
Your own pop stars.
Would you be in a band if your children came to you and said, we're going to start a band and we want you to be in it, would you join?
They would never want me in their band. It would be like Here's Soul over again.
Well, it's mad because not always like the three of them have the same, you know, like your passion's music, isn't it?
Yeah.
As well, that they all got the same passion as their mum. That's nice that you've got that shared interest where normally one rails against it.
Yeah, very much.
With sibling rivalry, like if one's good at it, I know if my brother's really good at piano, I'll be like, I ain't doing that.
No, but that's why I gave them all instruments. I did that on purpose. I gave them different instruments.
Right.
Because my family growing up, we all got the same instruments, and it does become then exactly what you said. But you see on my socials, I usually film one in one room and one in the other, and they just both do, like, one will do piano, one will do cello, they'll swap over.
Snoop's got a gin and juice on the go, listen to some beats. Obviously, you love your music, Mylene, and Josh, you love music as well. And I don't mind music, but I'd always go and listen to a comedy album over a music album. That's just, you know, why I'm inclined. But the thought of hearing three instruments at 6:30 a.m. at breakfast, I don't think I'd cope. No. I just like, fucking shut up. I'm trying to do Weetabix here. I've got not enough milk. The toast burn.
Oh no, I love it. I love how loud our household is. Oh. I mean, my daughters have had friends who've come over and have said your house is very loud.
Is it quite an open house? Is it one of those houses where there's always people coming and going?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why, because I didn't grow up in a house like that and I really wanted it. I wanted like those sitcom houses where someone just walks in through the back door. I made a pie, there's some left over. I really wanted that. So, you know, it's our household has always had, you know, waifs and strays, and I love it. You know, there's always been some woman crying, rolling down a radiator, sliding down a wall. There's always someone dropping there. There's someone dropping their kids over while they just head to shops or to get their legs waxed. Obviously, at the weekends, Ava's teaching all her pupils, so their mums and dads come in for a cup of tea. It's just, it is chaotic. And
she's earning good money from 12.
She's doing really well. She hasn't asked me for money for, I don't know, a few years.
What?
That's amazing.
It's great.
But you have to entertain the parents.
Yes.
You should get a split.
She's got the easier gig.
Well, I have pointed this out. As we were talking about taxes and about finance and how to pay your way, and I said, "Look, you don't get charged for the room or the electricity or the use of the piano or the wear and tear of the stool or the, you know, she's learning.
She's got a great deal.
She's learning. She's got a really good deal, and she knows that. But that's
and also, her teaching has a free meet and greet mile in class chucked in.
I mean, when you put it like that, I do sit and have a coffee with.
Do you only get any of mile in class fans that the kids are disinterested in piano, and your daughter's in on it? Going, let's just sit here and pretend. I'll play for a bit, and then your mum and dad can have a chat with Miley. I know you're not into this, but they're paying good money.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. There's a little side earner.
So, are you having to do 9 parents? You must be buzzing off your face with the coffees you're having on a Saturday.
I live on coffee. Pro Hero, actually, I don't know where she heard this from. She said, if you have 5 coffees and no sleep, she said you're going to die.
Who said that?
Hero. If I don't have those coffees, then I will be breaking the family rule. I have to have those coffees.
Yeah. How many coffees you want a day, would you say?
Oh, God, easily 5. Nice.
Easily 5.
Yeah.
How are you having it? Talk me through it.
Skinny cappuccino.
5 skinny cappuccinos.
Yeah.
Single shots.
Yeah, yeah.
First one, as soon as you get up, when you're having the last one?
Sometimes after a meal.
Wow. At night?
I can sleep anytime, anywhere.
Oh, mate. Really? That sounds so much fun. I have one coffee and I'm absolutely high as a kite, followed by so low. It's like the come down I have from a single coffee is like nothing I've ever experienced in my life.
Really?
Yeah.
You just drink tea now. Yeah.
Your kids are still young. You're young, Padawan. You've got time.
But you just drink tea. I don't think you've ever had a coffee, have you, Josh? I've never known.
I drank too much at university. Of course. I mean, that's such a lame story. Just did too much coffee at university, guys. But like, I was doing class levels of coffee at university.
Really?
And it was, and then it was really bad. I was getting, like, I was throwing up in the mornings because I was consuming so much caffeine.
Oh,
I'm not made of strong stuff.
But I don't have to get through the day without loads of coffee.
Oh, you're right, Rob.
I'm just not made of strong stuff. Like, coffee's just killing him. Poor old Josh.
And he's allergic to chlorine. I do go decaf tea after about 2 p.m. So there we go. Pathetic, really, isn't
but
it?
But Mylene's dealing with it. 5 coffees, ploughing on. Are you worried there's going to be a massive caffeine crash at some point, Mylene, or do you reckon you can ride it out?
I think I'm just keeping things like the status quo is just keep the coffees rolling.
Yeah.
Don't wait for the crash. That's the error. Don't wait for the crash.
Normally, with that, just
you
keep
can't come
going.
Down if you're still up. If the showbiz has taught you anything.
Normally, we'd be like, so what's the score with like alcohol and discussing that with your kids when they're 15 or stuff? Where do you stand on what age can a kid start having coffee?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. So it's interesting. Again, I did that in the book. I did measures. Yeah. I actually did measures. The kids love it because if you put all the glasses out on the table and you say, because there was this trend, and I think the girls pointed it out to me on TikTok, where kids were just downing bottles of vodka. And I said to them, that's water.
Oh, my God.
That's water. And that's why I put that in the book, because I think we don't really... everyone knows when you drink, and it's at a wedding or a party or at the weekend if you've got... everyone sees drink. But actually, have you ever sat down with your kids and explained drink and measures. It's like when you lay all the glasses out in front of them and you show a pint glass and a shot glass and you say, look, if you poured the vodka shot into a pint glass, you'd be in severe trouble. I think that's a really important thing to teach them. And then what I've also showed is how easily it is to spike a drink as well. We have all those conversations about never returning to a drink. And I think those are really important conversations, not to scare children. I think a lot of people I've seen, you know, the stories that have been written up about when I first, you know, introduced this book, things on like fire drills. That was, you know, those were heavily sensationalised too. But, you know, the London Fire Brigade got in touch to say, thanks for talking about it. Because I think, you know, you do fire musters at work, you do fire musters at school, but you don't, you know, you should do a fire drill in your house. You should, nothing should be off limits.
Yeah.
A lot of children, and this is really sad, I've worked with Save the Children for 10 years now, and you hear these stories and you're like, I just think, God, we should be teaching our children this, that... A lot of fire brigades, a lot of firemen say that they find children hidden under beds or in cupboards because their first reaction is to hide.
Yeah.
So your job, I believe, is you've got to show them how to get out or what to do, and don't go back for the pet and don't go back for your teddy bears and, hide. And so we do little fire musters. We have a fire muster point. We've planned if you can't get out the front door, how do you, you know, can you make your way to the back?
How old do you start that from? Would you discuss that with Snoop?
I did a video on it. I put that on my socials and people were like, oh my God, you know, it sounds scary when you talk about it, but when you see the rules of it, it's a game.
You'd rather have an awkward conversation about it than them not know and the worst happen.
Totally.
It's awkward because you're applying your emotion to it.
Yeah. Because you're panicking about it. Yeah.
They don't know that fire is hot because they're forever trying to touch things. They just don't. They don't see the danger. So once they don't see the danger, turn it into a game. And so show them how to crawl across the floor. We did a game where, you know, we tried to do it in the dark because often it's the smoke that is the inhibitor as opposed to the
fire. And is this before or after piano lessons at 6:30 a.m? When you're slipping this in? Just trying to get my schedule ready.
This is what happens when you've got a Navy dad. My dad's in the Navy.
Oh, right. Okay.
He used to have to run a fire muster and I'd be like, I'm never doing this with my kids. This is torture. This is barbaric. Now I'm here. I am.
I was going to say you've got an amazing amount of energy, and I was going to ask where you get it from, but we know it's the five coffees. But it's so nice. You're so excited about looking after your kids.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like it's just problem solving and making it fun.
Yeah.
You're what you like to do.
I just think it gets really sad. Like it's almost like when you hear parents, look, we're all tired. We're all massively overwhelmed. We're all worried about what the future holds. It feels relentless at the moment. It feels, like I said, overwhelming. But you know what? I've got a 15-year-old. I blinked and she was 15.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, I just want to be team kids. I do enjoy their company. I enjoy being a mum. I hear so many times that people moan about, oh, God, the kids did this. And then they... that.
Yeah, we've got to earn a living though, Miley. let's not shit on that too much, okay? Because twice a week we're pumping this out.
God, I feel like they're just growing up so quickly.
I know, it's bad, isn't it?
It seems like the baby is three.
I do think, I mean, now mine are less labour intensive because they're 6 and 4. I am really enjoying their company, but when they're at Josh's stage with 15 months, it's unrelenting. But yeah, no, it's so true. It's like it goes so quick.
But they shift, like, you know, Ava's challenges now. You know, she's self-sufficient in so many ways, but her challenges are challenges that I can't always solve. You know, I sit down all to try and figure out together because some of them are just, it's so complicated. And we're trying to prepare them for jobs that didn't exist when we were growing up. We're trying to prepare them for a world that has socials and tech in it that we didn't have.
Yeah.
And you're trying to tell them how to behave and navigate this world. And we never did. Yeah. Like, can you imagine if your past was all over the internet or your photos or your conversations?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You know, could you imagine what our poor kids are navigating? It's terrifying.
And as someone who loves a busy house, and obviously you kind of, I could see you just like, you adore having your kids all doing different things and stuff. But you've got a 15-year-old daughter who maybe in 3 years is going to leave home. Can you comprehend that? How do you think you're going to deal with...
What, to go to the monastery?
Well, yeah, because, obviously you've got, Snoop and he's young still, but are you going to be that mum, I think, that moves to near the university?
What, No, sleep on the floor next to bed. I make everyone cheap toasties when they come in from a night out. Already. Somebody said to me, you know, that nature designs it very well, that by the point they're moving out, they can't tolerate your ideas or whatever else. Yeah. And you're probably on your last nerve as well. But I just you know, I said to them, I want you to go out and go and do whatever it is, you know, whatever that passion is or whatever that job, you know, you want to go and follow or travel, just come home. Just make sure you come home. But I just think that idea of making you have to look after your mum in old age or, you know, you have to, I think that's a real labour on a child. And I've been really careful about my language around that. And I've also changed a lot of my language recently in talking. You know, you just talk to people and you pick up tips. And it was actually Catelyn Moran, actually. She said to me recently that she stopped saying to her children, I just want you to be happy. And I'm like, oh, my God, I say that all the time. I say that all the time. But she said, it's just another pressure. And I thought about it. And if someone kept saying to me, I just want you to be happy when I'm stressed at work and worrying about,
that's so true.
Oh, now I've got to be happy on top of it all. I think you just got to... I just got a roll with the punches, but Ava, I can never remember which child I'm talking about, isn't that awful? they get really wound up with me when I confuse their names. They get really mad at me. And I know who I'm talking about.
It's just
shouting another person's name. I think it breaks my heart to think that they've been with you forever and then you will have... Yes, I can't even imagine it. And saying all of that, I'm going to be a massive hypocrite.
But then when do you like draw that line? Because when they move to uni and they're in the uni house, are you getting her and all her mates doing the firepoint muster? Is that but part of you will want to? You'll be in there visiting, going, it's lovely, isn't it? That's the kitchen. That's your guys. Quick firepoint muster, if we can.
This is a vodka shot.
Exactly. Fuck off, Mum. I'm 26.
Really cool mum with you.
Hey, guys, it's me here. The crab releaser. Quick one. But that's the difficulty, isn't it? You still want to do it, but you can't.
That's your job as well. You are still going to be mum. I don't see...
Yeah, but you can't do a firepoint muster at a uni house.
All right, I might hold off on that.
What about... You want to do it now?
What about a piano schedule? A piano schedule when she moves into her halls. Right, everyone. I've noted down when you're all doing the piano in the morning.
You'll check, no, you'll ask,
won't
you?
I've been really smart with the piano moves. So I've raced them through their grades whilst they were young because I know I even said it to Ava and I said to Sim, my partner, I said, once they hit 15, it's just nigh on impossible. That practice, you know, it's hard because they want to be out with their mates and why wouldn't they? And because I'd had that and I'd lived that, that's why I raced them through it because I thought, well, that's it now. Look, Ava's got her diplomas. She's starting music college. She can earn money now. It might not
Brilliant.
Even be... Might not be the
She's got a trade. She's already got a trade, basically.
Always have a trade.
Yeah.
Like the South London way you're talking about. Yeah. I've saved a fortune on doing my own plumbing. Always have a trade.
Yeah. So now they've done that, they can always teach piano, essentially, if they get through their grades.
But also, it's a transferable skill. It's a transferable skill. So she gets paid by TikTok. She's not like just, you know, holding up shampoo bottles and, you know, just to advertise. She actually gets paid to make videos. She's figured this out now. So what's brilliant about all of this is I don't have to say go and do your piano because she knows she earns on a Saturday from it. She earns from social media from it and it's an actual talent. So no one can actually just be, you know, you're not wearing the right clothes. I don't like your hair. Realistic surface level of how so many bands are judged. She's a diploma student that's going to music college. She's sorted from that point. And even if she decides, you know, she wants to go down a completely different route, I know I've just given her a trade. I know that she'll always be able to eat.
It's an amazing thing to have, like, forever. But what was your journey of learning the piano then? Was it different to how... So did you readjust it to do it when they were younger? Or did you say you had to do it when you was older, when you did
I was a little bit
levels?
Old. I didn't have a mum who could read music, so... If I couldn't figure something out, I had a whole week of having to wait to see my teacher.
Right.
Whereas I can hear what's going on if I'm just doing the washing up and I can, you know, there's a running joke, but I can literally hear C sharp. It's a C sharp. I was really hoping I wasn't coming across like some tiger mum, but it's like,
no, it's great. No, it's all coming. It's all coming from love.
Such a good place.
Well, it's if they don't want to do it, I've also said, just don't do it. It's life is short. Yeah. It is way too short. But they're loving the flex of being able to go, I've earned my money.
I would have loved to have that ability to earn that money when I was 15. Genuinely, like, it's such a great thing to have.
But I think it comes from a real place of, like, love and excitement and opportunity. Or I think sometimes when it's coming from a place of fear of, oh, my children aren't keeping up at school, and then you badgering them and going, do this, do that. That's when I don't think the kids sort of enjoy it. But when it's like you're sort of going, well, if you do that, it's a C-sharp, but if you do that, then you can earn money from it. It's an opportunity, not a fearful thing.
I get asked by mums a lot. They want to get their children into music. And I'm telling you, music is the most transferable skill. It picks up your mouth, it picks up your English. It's so abstract, so you can understand, even from a storytelling point of view. It just, language as well, you know, whether you want to learn a language, the way that you listen, it teaches you to listen, not to actually, you're not always on send. But ultimately, I think there's a lot of parents who say to me, well, my child isn't, you know, practicing, or they don't seem to enjoy it, or change the teacher. Because music is fun. Nobody ever goes to a gig. Well, shouldn't do, and just be like, I mean, to come out, you know, utterly miserable. You know, it just goes into your soul. You go to a concert and it touches something. You watch a movie. If you turn the sound off, I know that you say that you'd rather listen to a comedy podcast, but you watch movies. As soon as you hear the music to E.T., you can't feel anything other than like mush, because it's such a huge nostalgic part of our childhood. And in music, irrespective of how you think you feel about it, it touches absolutely everybody. It's like it's a universal language.
Well, whenever I get in the sea, you can hear it.
Exactly.
So last question on learning the music. Recorders.
No, they should be
good
burned.
Intro or bullshit?
Burn them.
Absolute bullshit.
Burn them.
I draw a line somewhere.
Triangle. Just fuck off and find something you're good at. Fucking triangle.
At four, if I was to buy my daughter an instrument, what instrument would you suggest I buy her?
So this is an interesting one, because I get asked this a lot. Actually, if you want to get your child into music, play the music. Play them every genre you can. Dolly Parton, Johnny Cash, Pavarotti. Don't just give them, you know, one genre of music because it's what you listen to. It's so important that they can, you know, pick and choose different bits and hear the influences of other songs. You know, I know so many people think that classical music is boring, but now if you listen to how many people are using classical music in you know, their pop writing, it's the key to everything. Pachelbel's Canon, which I used to make my money as a teenager playing at weddings, every single wedding wanted Pachelbel's Canon. It's what Oasis used, Kylie used, you know, for the Locomotion. It's Morning Glory. Every single act, every single writer has used Pachelbel's Canon. It's just the key.
Even Alan Sugar used classical music for the start of The Apprentice.
Yeah, for coffee.
Big time.
Yes, quite right, you see. But I just think that's it. It's like, play the music, because not everyone can afford an instrument. And then they have an instrument that just sort of sits there collecting dust because they don't know. Play it, and then they then decide they're not very musical. She gets it from me. I'm not very musical, you know. Yeah. And I just think that's a real shame. Teach them how to listen to different pieces and different melodies, and they'll sing along to it. And you know, anything can become an instrument in the house. If you are going to, you know, run with anything, I say run with it. It's impossible to do so, but you know, piano is key because it's both hands, both lines that you're learning. Yeah. It's like a staple. Everyone loves to sing along.
Yeah, true.
The piano.
Miley, the last question. This is about your partner. Is there one thing they do parenting-wise that really annoys you and frustrates you, but they keep doing, and one thing that they do that's amazing? We try and finish on a positive if you want to do the negative first.
Okay, so Sim does this thing with the washing up. It becomes washing up Jenga.
Right.
That with all the kids' stuff, it just gets piled up higher and higher. And it's just one of those things you'll hear it in the middle of the night sometimes, just it all comes crashing. And I know it comes from a good place. He's trying to like get, you know, do the laundry, do the washing and help out. But that gets my nerves on edge because there's all the breakage. And on a good point, I have never seen him ever not be so, you know, get hands on. He's so hands on. He is. It's brilliant. He's like a kid, and I think that that's such an infectious thing for children to see. Someone who doesn't mind, you know, running in the parents' race and go around again and doing it, just fun on when we're doing trick or treat. Just isn't afraid to make, you know, a fool of himself, and just puts the fun back into it all.
And doesn't die. which is key for the classes.
Has fun, doesn't die.
And do you know what? He's always full of like surprises. He's just been coaching Hero because Hero's decided she wants to get into cricket. And they had this whole thing where I showed up just to watch and he'd done all these like special bowling little tricks that they had. And they had their, if you've like seen League of Their Own where they do the movie where they've got their little signs and they were both communicating as to what bowl she should do next. And I just, that is when you think that's really special.
Oh, lovely.
This podcast got so much better since we ended on the positive. We used to just end with the negative.
But it's nice now.
It's nice now.
And good luck with the book.
The book is out now.
They don't teach this at school. Essential knowledge to tackle everyday challenges.
There we go. Thank you very much, Miley in class.
Honestly, thank you.
Miley in class.
There we go. What a lovely woman.
She's lovely. Do you know what, though? I reckon 3 coffees enough.
I'm going to say maybe I need a coffee. I just need one.
Maybe I need to. My Abba, me and you have an extra one each, and she has 3.
I wish I had that zest for life. I will, again.
Mine in class there. Don't forget to buy a book, and we'll see you on Friday.
Cheers.
Bye.